Politics. Normally I'm in conversation with registrars and others of that type here, talking about lots of higher education stuff. There will be some new versions of that kind of podcast along soon, but in the meantime, I wanted to provide a bit of bonus content. So in this short registrarologue, I want to talk about the most wonderful time in the university year. Yes, graduation. I do enjoy graduation ceremonies. It is undoubtedly one of the most significant points in the university calendar, and I've been to several hundred of them over the years. The traditional finale to the academic year, graduation is perhaps the only time in the session when everyone in the university, or at least almost everyone, appears to be happy. It's a quite bizarre and rather ritualistic event. Everyone, well, again, nearly everyone, dresses up in gowns and or posh frocks or newly acquired suits, better still, kilts. The graduation mood is the closest thing in higher education to the national feel-good vibe we had during the London Olympics back in 2012. Whilst there is something to be said for the total immersion and huge-scale experience of the US-style commencement, I do think the UK model is hard to beat with its mixture of pomp, flummery and joy. And it is quite a bizarre event when you think about it, with few parallels in public life, where hundreds of people are the centre of attention, albeit only for a few moments each. At a time when goodwill has been at a premium in terms of industrial relations in universities, graduation days serve as a reminder of what higher education is all about, and that it is possible to set aside other arguments and share in the collective joy of student achievement. Organising graduation ceremonies remains one of the most thankless tasks in the administrator's panoply of duties. Many aspects of your work are extremely visible and permanently on record, available on video for a very reasonable price. You're dependent on lots of other people doing what you expect of them, and there are just dozens and dozens of things which can go wrong and over which you have very little or no influence. Senior staff, whatever their role in the event, will always be extremely pleased to pass on some helpful bits of advice about where things went wrong or could have been improved. There are many rituals associated with graduations which are largely inexplicable to most participants. Some people do, though, need answers to the big questions about graduation, as a post-ceremony Freedom of Information request to the University of Sussex demonstrated recently. The requester asked, first, who is the mace carrier? How did they get that job? Do they work for the university full-time doing something else? Second, what is the mace? What is its history and how did the university get it? Does it have any engravings or special features? Third, I noticed a bald gentleman in a black cap and black gown sitting on the far right of the front row of the group on the stage. He entered carrying a thin rod. Who is he? What is his role? And what is the rod all about? Like Sussex, the University of Nottingham, where I work, has a heavy and finely crafted mace. We also have marshals of various kind, who have small sticks, and an Esquire Bedell, who also looks after the mace. All of these people, despite their strange titles and roles, are key to making the event happen, and to ensuring that students actually make it to the front, across the stage, and back to their seats without mishap. Graduation academic dress requirements are stipulated in university regulations and are fundamental elements of any ceremony. Until recently, the handful of gown companies had really got the market literally and metaphorically sewn up. However, there are new disruptive kids on the gown provision block now, including a company which recently appeared on the TV investor programme Dragon's Den, which is aiming to sell cheaply and directly via the internet to graduands, missing out the officially sanctioned middle person. Good luck to them, you might think. However, matching the right gown and particularly the hood colour and design is no small task, and it is likely the effect of that looks near enough will mean much more variety at ceremonies. How long can it be before universities start auditing academic dress and then barring graduands with incorrectly coloured hoods? Mind you, at Kyoto University in Japan, they have a much more relaxed attitude. Not only are they unconcerned about hood colour and gown tailoring, they positively encourage graduands to dress how they like. As a result, they've had students in the most extraordinary outfits, ranging from E.T. to C-3PO and Thomas the Tank Engine to Winnie the Pooh. Beyond the gowns, there can be some interesting dress issues for graduands, and although there is always the very sound advice issued to all about the inadvisability of trying out stilettos for the first time at graduation, many people do. Despite lots of inappropriate footwear, from flip-flops to biker boots, people rarely fall over or off the stage. In terms of the platform party, there are always things to keep an eye out for if you're in the audience, or indeed a member of staff on duty. Firstly, some members of the platform party seem to find it challenging to stay awake for an hour on the stage. Even when you're clapping a lot, or pretending to clap, sometimes the eyelids can droop. Drinking at lunchtime is generally not conducive to effective working, including at graduation. Just because you only have to walk and clap doesn't mean you can drink with impunity. Phone use, including catching up on emails, is not a good look, especially if you're in the front row. And if you ask students not to take selfies while crossing the stage, then it's probably not a great idea for members of the platform party to be seen doing so. Finally, every university has some really oddly titled courses, and we all appear, judging by the small number of graduates on some programmes, to have many more uneconomic courses than we thought. These are not things to raise with members of faculty during the procession. Many ceremonies also include the joys of an honorary graduate to make everyone feel special. Sometimes you get a celebrity, sometimes a Canadian, but more often than not, it is an academic who's done marvellous work over an entire working lifetime, but who nobody has ever heard of. If you're really lucky, you might get a music star, like Drs. Rihanna, Bill Withers, Stevie Wonder, or Lionel Richie. And if you give someone an honorary degree, you also get to hear them make a speech and offer a few uplifting words of advice and inspiration to new graduates. There's a long tradition of this, particularly in US universities, but it is pretty unusual to hear a genuinely inspiring graduation speech. But a few occasionally have some nuggets to offer. For example, George W. Bush said, "To those of you who are graduating this afternoon with high honours, awards and distinctions, I say, well done. And as I like to tell the C students, you too can be president." And another celebrity offered this. "Every year, many, many stupid people graduate from college, and if they can do it, so can you." Neil Gaiman, the writer, advised graduates that they should be wise because the world needs wisdom. If you cannot be wise, pretend to be someone who is wise, and then just behave like they would. Wise words indeed. Meanwhile, the humorist David Sedaris recently advised graduates at Oberlin College, among other things, to be careful buying scented candles, to choose just one thing to be terribly offended by, to be yourself, unless yourself is an asshole, and to write thank you letters. But whilst choosing a famous honorary graduate to bestow a university title on can bring some glitz and glamour to a ceremony and sprinkle a little stardust on stage, more care is needed these days to make sure the university doesn't have to find itself revoking titles further down the line. I won't quote the names. Things do sometimes go wrong at graduation too. Both typos on degree certificates and doomed attempts at backflips on stage can really make ceremonies stick in the memory for all the wrong reasons. There are some entertaining myths about graduation, the best of which relates to headgear. Every year there's a story in the media about a university banning the throwing of mortarboards for health and safety reasons, and this makes the health and safety executive very cross indeed. As they said, as far back as 2008, HSE made clear the law does not stop graduates having fun, celebrating their success in this time-honoured fashion. The chances of being injured by a flying mortarboard are incredibly small, and it's over the top to impose a ban. This year at Nottingham, I did notice we had a note in our daily campus security report on this very issue. 1525, security assisted a student attending graduation after being hit in the head by a thrown mortarboard. The student was assessed by a paramedic and given advice on how to proceed. The student was happy to continue with their celebrations. Phew. Graduation is still a major rite of passage then. It remains one of the most wonderful events in the university calendar, and for all concerned, it's generally a positive and forward-looking event. Everyone's thinking about future work or study or other plans, but also with fond reflection on their time at university. And there is an overriding sense of optimism, even in the most difficult economic circumstances. It really is a bit like having the Olympics in your patch every year. That was the latest registrar log then. I do hope you enjoyed that wee bit of bonus content. There are others available here too, and plenty more podcasts in the back catalogue and on the way in future. Thank you for listening.